indicate that to you. And I need your prayers that that would happen. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I am constantly amazed that you would choose to take broken, weak, and sinful human beings like me to proclaim your word. Lord, why you don't send angels to shout from the skies or send hands again to write on walls or other things that would demand the attention of men, I don't understand why you take the weakness of men, and yet your word tells us it's to show forth your strength. So I would ask this morning, Lord, that you would take me as a weak and a broken and a sinful vessel and proclaim your glory through your word and through me. Heavenly Father, we know that only as you give ears to hear will your word be heard. Only as you give eyes to see can the truths of your scripture be seen. Father, even those who this morning are dead in their trespasses and sins are waiting to be stirred to life, resurrected by your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would do that for us this morning. Father God, enable me to very clearly articulate those things which are from you through your word to us this morning. We thank you for the power of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, children on the balcony. Let's all be quiet. There are Bibles in the pews. If you have one, turn with me to the first chapter of Luke. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 25. Let's listen together to God's word. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were right in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. In these days He has shown His favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. May God bless to our hearts the reading of His Word. This morning, I want to particularly focus on one portion of one verse from the text that we have just read. And that is verse 13 of Luke chapter 1, in which we read, "The angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard.'" That is the message that I want us all to take away this morning. Your prayer has been heard. Wouldn't we all love to hear those words? Wouldn't we all rejoice and be full of amazement if God sent a messenger directly to us this morning to say to us today, "Paul Warren, your prayer has been heard." To say to you individually, your prayer has been heard. You see, those of us who have put our faith and trust in God and have given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, quite oftentimes it seems that we pray and we pray and we pray and we don't ever get a response. Nothing seems to happen and it frustrates us and we begin to become hopeless that God will ever hear, that God will indeed ever respond to our prayers. I think the message of our text this morning is very clear that by announcing John's birth, when Gabriel came to Zechariah and announced the birth of John, that the Lord shows a hopeless people that He hears and answers prayer. That God indeed hears the prayers of His people. He may not answer our prayers at the time we desire, nor in the manner that we prefer, but God has assured His people throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today that He hears the prayers of the saints and that He answers. As we look at our text this morning, there are three questions that I want us to consider. Which prayer was it that was heard? Second of all, what was the answer to that prayer? And thirdly, how are we to respond? You see, I think as we look at the text before us, as we read through it, we almost always do what I did as I read through the text many, many times this week to make the assumption that the text is just talking about the prayer that we would assume that Zechariah and Elizabeth made throughout their lives, that God would bless them with a child. That would be the assumption that we would make, that Gabriel was coming and specifically in a very narrow way saying to Zechariah, "This one prayer that you have prayed, that you and your wife have offered up to me, is now going to be answered." That would certainly be true. The angel Gabriel says to Zechariah that God is going to indeed give he and Elizabeth a son. But I think if we take the text in that fashion and only see it in that way, we're missing out on so much more of the broader application that is there for us in the text this morning. You see, the angel's message to Zechariah pointed to a much greater truth. You see, to understand that, we have to look again and examine the context in which we find the story before us this morning. In a certain sense, if we were to just see it as God giving Zechariah and Elizabeth a son, it could have come to us in many different ways. The angel could have appeared to Zechariah at home. He could have appeared to Elizabeth. And he could have just said that this is what is going to happen. But it comes to us in the context of Zechariah as a priest. And it also makes clear in the text that Elizabeth herself was from a priestly lineage. The very beginning of the text makes it clear and emphasizes the fact that Zechariah and Elizabeth were both from a priestly line, and that Zechariah himself, at that time, at that day, at that moment, was serving in his priestly role. That he was acting on behalf of the people as an intercessor to God. That he was coming and bringing before God the prayers of the people, interceding on their behalf. Luke tells us that Zechariah was a priest. His God-given office in life was to mediate between God, the holy God, and the sinful covenant people. One of the aspects of priestly work that we see Zechariah specifically fulfilling here is the burning of the incense upon the altar in front of the Holy Holies in the temple. This was something that happened every day, thousands and thousands of times. But for Zechariah, it was a unique privilege and blessing. You see, at that time, there were about 18,000 priests in the land of Palestine and Judea. 18,000 priests who participated in the worship at the temple. And someone like Zechariah would make his way a few times a year to serve his term of duty at the temple. And it was only by lot, we would even say by chance, that his particular family and he particularly was chosen that day to offer up incense on the altar. It was a specific altar right in front of the most holy place, in front of the Holy of Holies. See, the Holy of Holies was the very innermost circle of the temple, the very inner portion where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the wings of the cherubim came together, and God was said to dwell on the mercy seat of the Ark. In Exodus 30, we read about the incense that was offered up at that time. In Exodus 30, we read that incense had to be burned on the altar. And there's a distinction between this incense altar and the altar, the bronze altar that was outside the most holy place, the altar that stood outside the temple. The bronze altar outside the temple where the sacrifices were offered was for the atoning of sins. But this altar was an altar overlaid with gold, and it was set directly in front of the veil to the Holy of Holies. And so behind that was God's dwelling place. And this altar, where Zechariah was to go and offer up the incense, was literally as close as one could get to God in the most holy place. And today, this day, Zechariah had been chosen, and it was his turn to come so close to God. And it was his job to burn the sweet incense. Through the work of a priest, then, the work of Zechariah that day, this sweet aroma had to go up on the altar of God. And it would the incense and the aroma would go to God's veil. And it was the bronze altar outside where the sacrifice had been made for the forgiveness of sins. Because of that forgiveness of sins, then, the priest would come closer to God and offer up the incense. A clear distinction. Not for the atonement for sin. The incense was not for the atoning of sin, but it represented something much more clearly. It represented the prayers of the people. Throughout Scripture, we see incense representing the prayers of God's people. Psalm 141, verse 2, David said, "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." I went through Alan Bauer's course on Revelation recently, and he talks in that course about how the images in Scripture help us interpret them throughout. If one thing in Scripture is represented one way, we see it that way throughout. We see that in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, we read, "The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Throughout Scripture, the image of incense represents the prayers of God's people. This, then, is what the incense of the altar was about. This incense that Zechariah had the special privilege of offering before the Lord at this particular place and time represented the prayers of the people whose sins had been atoned for, whose sins had been atoned for by the sacrifice that was offered on the altar outside. The priest, acting as the representative of the forgiven people, came as close as possible to God. He was on the other side of the veil, and he brought the prayers. And it was interesting, if you look back at the text in verse 10, we read that while Zechariah was there burning the incense, it says, all the assembled worshipers were praying together outside. The people of Israel around the temple were praying. They were bringing their individual and collective needs before the Lord. And Zechariah was in the temple offering this incense to God as a priest, urging God to hear the prayers of the people as they had gathered together to worship Him. This is the image that we have, and it's a picture for us of God's gospel promise. In the same way that the sacrifice that was offered on the bronze altar outside showed the promise that God would send a perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to atone for the sins, that He would make them right forever before Him by that sacrifice, this incense that was offered by Zechariah that day and by the priests on this golden altar before the holy place was a gospel promise to God's people that He would indeed hear and answer prayers, that He would hear the prayers that the people brought before Him. God wants this incense burned to assure the people that He'll hear their prayers. The altar of incense symbolized to the Old Testament people, the people of the Old Covenant, that the intercessory work was the work of the coming Savior. That the bronze altar of sacrifice outside showed that the Savior would lay down His life in order to pay for the sins and reconcile them to God. And the golden altar of incense in front of the most holy place taught them that the victorious Savior, the one who would conquer sin and death, would indeed continually intercede before the Father. We read about this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands in the manner that Zechariah did that day, but Jesus has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. This is a picture of what's happening that day when Zechariah went into the holy place to offer the incense, to offer up the prayers, that the victorious Savior interceding continually before the Father. The incense altar proclaimed to the people of Israel this beautiful gospel promise. A Savior would not only die for their sins in order to make them right with God, but that He would forever, continually intercede for them. This is the confidence that the people had, that they should have had, as they came that day and offered their prayers. And as we think about the prayers that were offered that day by the people, we can imagine that they were much like the prayers that we ourselves would offer. Prayers asking God to intervene in our lives, to bring about health and healing for family members, to restore broken relationships, to carry us through financially hard times, to bring comfort to those who are grieving, to protect us from forces of evil. We can see all of these things as prayers that would have been offered up that day. Prayers like Zechariah and Elizabeth themselves had offered, perhaps, for a child in the midst of barrenness. But they would have also been prayers that God would be faithful to His promises. And again, as we consider the context here, the Scriptures that the people at that time had were of the Old Testament. And if we go to the very end, to the very last chapter, almost to the very last verse of the Old Testament Scriptures, the Scriptures that those folks would have had that day, they end in this manner. Verse 5 and verse 6 of Malachi chapter 4. "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." This was the ending of the Old Testament, the old message that had come to these people, and their hope and their anticipation and their prayer was that God would send this one who would be like Elijah, who would prepare the way for the Lord. And in answering the prayers of the people that we see made that day, offered that day, we see God specifically answering the prayer that He would send someone like Elijah. The text tells us that that was the message of Gabriel. Zechariah, God is going to answer your prayer and Elizabeth's prayer, but He's also answering the prayers of His people that they've been making for 400 years now, that He would intervene in time and space and bring a Redeemer so that those who have been alienated and exiled and separated from God could be brought near, that they could come back into relationship with their Heavenly Father, that they could be redeemed and saved. And this child that will be born to you and Elizabeth, He will be the one who will be like Elijah, who will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah offers the incense, the prayers of God's people represented before the Holy of Holies, before the Ark of the Covenant, and the reassurance that God Himself answers prayer. God hears the prayers of the people. And the angel Gabriel says to him that day, "Your prayer is heard. God has not been asleep since the last time there was an angel or a prophet of God speaking to these people. God has heard and God is intervening. He's always listening. He's always caring for His people. Your prayer is heard, Zechariah. The prayers that you represent this day, the prayers of the people who are outside the temple praying, are heard, Zechariah. What was Zechariah's response that day? I had about 3 different sermons prepared just on that idea. Zechariah, the one who should have known, the man who represented God to the people, the one who taught the people God's Word, the one who more than anyone else should have known, what did he say? What did he do? What did he feel that day? Well, wait a minute. How can this be? How do I know this is true? Well, for crying out loud, Zechariah, there's the angel Gabriel standing there. What more sign do you need? We oftentimes, when we read the Scripture, are critical of those in the Word of God as we see them as being immature or lacking faith or, you know, we do that all the time with the children of Israel. How could they make the same mistakes over and over again? How could they have such little faith? And yet, how often do we not believe that God will answer the prayers that we've offered up to Him? How often do we doubt? How often do we not expect God to hear and answer our prayers? I don't want to embarrass Lorraine or Eddie this morning. I didn't ask him if I could do this. But you know what? I know that Lorraine prayed for years and years that Eddie would be sitting here. You know what? I bet you she didn't always believe that it would happen. And I cried this morning as Eddie stood and prayed. God answers prayers. He is a faithful God. Even when we doubt, even when we don't expect Him to hear and answer our prayers, He is a faithful God who hears the prayers of His people. Perhaps not in the way that we want. Perhaps not at the time that we want. But God hears and answers prayer. And that's the message of our text this morning. As we have a Sunday of hope, consider this first Sunday of Advent, a Sunday of hope, let me offer you great hope this morning. Even as the angel Gabriel said to Zechariah, your prayer is heard. God hears your prayers, and He will answer. Perhaps not in the way and the time that you desire, but He does indeed do that. One of the ways we see that is by even considering what Gabriel said to Zechariah about the name of this child. He said, this child's name is to be John. In the original, it was Johanan, which means Yahweh is gracious. The message of the gospel was there, even in the name of this child. The specific answer of Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer is shown to be God's delight to answer all of His people's prayer at all times. Yahweh is gracious. God is gracious. He will do great things. He will answer prayer, and He will cause His people to prosper. The ministry of John would be one that would specifically address all of the prayers of the people. You see, as we pray, as those people prayed that day, they were bringing very specific concerns to God. As I mentioned before, they were all sorts of things that might have been on their hearts that day. A need for reconciliation and relationship, a need for healing in someone's life, a need for financial things to be addressed. All of these things, at their root, have the problem of sin. All of the problems in our life can be brought down to the single answer that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and mankind fell into sin, and as a result, all of us have sin in our lives, these are the source of the problems that we have. And in sending John, the one who was like Elijah, to prepare a people ready for the Lord, he was saying, God is gracious. God will hear these prayers and God will do these things. God is active to bring about salvation. Paul wrote to the church at Rome and he said, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life? That's the message of Gabriel to Zechariah that day. It's the message to all of us as we examine this text that God is at work to reconcile us to Himself, that He is gracious, that He forgives sins, and that He brings us to Himself, and that He hears our prayers. And let me ask you something this morning. When we consider our own response to these things, what do you think? If the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to humble Himself, to leave His place in heaven, to come and enrobe Himself in human flesh, and go to the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, if He would go all the way to death in order to make you right with God, do you not think that He will also continually bring your prayers before the Father, that He will continually intercede on your behalf? Again, in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, we read, "It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the bronze altar outside the temple representing the sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins, is made manifest and real in the person of Jesus Christ. And the incense that Zechariah burnt that day, the incense, the prayers of the saints, is now made real in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lamb of God, interceding for us before the Father. Let me conclude by reading to you from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." This morning is a morning of hope. And I would offer to you the assurance of that hope, the promise of God that Yahweh is gracious, that He hears the prayers of His people. Even as Zechariah, representing the people who stood outside the temple that day praying, bringing the incense, the prayers of God's people before Him, received the answer, "Your prayer has been heard." I would say to you this morning, your prayers have been heard. God has brought about you through Jesus Christ, who not only has atoned for your sin and made you right with God, He is even now interceding on your behalf. Your prayers have been heard. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would give us that great hope and that great assurance which is ours in Jesus Christ. We thank You for His death and His resurrection. And even now, Heavenly Father, as we come to the Lord's table and we feast upon His body and His blood, we ask that You would remind us afresh of the glorious message of the gospel, that Jesus is our sacrifice for sin, and that He indeed intercedes before Your throne on our behalf. We pray in His name. Amen.